Okay, Christians will have opposition. You're going to have oppositions. If you're going to live a Christian life, the people out there who don't believe in Jesus are going to sooner or later come up against you. Our reward may not come in this lifetime, but God promises us rewards in heaven.
Welcome to A Word from God with your host and teacher, James Lindley.
The title of this episode is The Beatitudes and was recorded live at Grand Community Church in Springfield, Missouri.
Hi, this is Misha Pelkey, and before we get started, I want to remind you that James loves hearing from his listeners. Drop him a line via email at james@awordfromgod.net. That email again is james@awordfromgod.net. Or write to James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri, 65801. That address again is James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri, 65801. Now here's your host and teacher, James Lindley.
The Beatitudes is the title of this sermon in Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through 12. And I would ask you all to please stand one last time in reverence to the reading of God's holy word. If everybody has that in their Bibles, please say amen. Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through 12. I'm reading out of the ESV. Your translation is fine. Seeing the crowds, he went up on the mountain, and when he sat down, his disciples came to him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word today. I pray that you will anoint me to speak what you want to say and not my own words. I pray that you will prepare our hearts and open them wide to receive, that we may carry them forth from this place. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And all of God's people said, amen. You may be seated. Praise God. This 12 powerful verses in the Bible is something that every Christian should review, meditate, and apply to their life. In these verses, we hear the promising words of Jesus. He reassures us that our sufferings will be rewarded. He reassures us. Now, we live in a microwave generation. You want something, you stick it in the microwave, it's done. You want something, you go to a fast food place, and if they tell you to park in this parking space, park at number 2 and we'll bring your food out to you. You get mad. Am I right? We don't like to wait for anything. The Christian is taught that we have to wait. The Christian is taught that our rewards are not necessarily here and now. This is what proves perseverance. This is the very thing that people will look at you and say, "Wow, you're going through a lot and you're still standing by God." That is how God is glorified. When we deny ourselves and lift him up despite our circumstances. So Jesus is talking about some things that are going to happen to you. And if they don't happen to you, you won't be blessed. And the things that he's talking about are pretty negative in our viewpoint. Nobody wants to be persecuted, but Jesus says, if you are, you're blessed. Well, that is a strange thing to say. Nobody wants to mourn, but Jesus says, if you do, you are blessed. Where is he getting this stuff from? That's not the God that I thought I believed in before I read the Bible. See, I wanted to believe in the God that gave me everything I ever asked for. even though I didn't deserve it. And you know what? I was half right. He gave me Jesus. Now, the first part of this is Jesus the teacher. The very first part of this verse that we start out with is verses 1 and 2 in Matthew 5. It says, seeing the crowds, he went up on the mountain, and when he sat down, his disciples came to him, and he opened his mouth and taught them. I want to tell you something. It wasn't just his disciples that were there. It said, seeing the crowds. And notice how it distinguished between the crowds and the disciples. Notice how it mentioned two groups of people, disciples and crowds. The crowds were the people that were curious. The crowds were the people that were just showing up to church to see what was going on. The crowds were the people just showing up to see what they could get out of it. The crowds were the people just showing up because there was nothing else to do that day. But the disciples were distinguished separately because they were the ones that were sitting by his feet, eagerly hearing what he had to say because they wanted to learn. Disciple means learner. The crowds were made up of curious people. They had not yet decided to be disciples. We get that today. People come to church. I was invited. I heard it's a fun place to hang out. They got free coffee. I got nothing else to do. I just got to make an appearance. I'll see what this is all about. They leave, and they haven't decided to be a disciple of Christ yet. Disciple is from the Greek, meaning learner. I want to be a learner. I want to learn what God has to say to me. I want to learn how to apply it to my life. I want to learn how to apply it to others. Am I a good learner? Sometimes. Sometimes I'm good. Sometimes I'm not. But I'm still a learner, and that's a work in progress. Okay? That's why we go to school for 12 years, right? Because we don't learn it all in the first grade, do we? We have to go to second grade and learn a new lesson. The point is that you don't get it all in one lesson. You have to be a learner. Jesus sat as he taught, a custom many teachers in Judaism practiced in that day. In the old days, he would read the word of God, and they would sit down, and they would teach it in a sitting position. That was a tradition. Now we're going to get to the Beatitudes. Anybody know what a Beatitude is? Glad you asked. All the Beatitudes begin with blessed are. Beatitudes come from the Latin word beatus, meaning blessed or happy. Now, if I was to give you $1,000 in an envelope here today, you would be happy. But you would not be blessed by the meaning of this Latin word. Because the type of happiness and blessing that this Latin word is describing is an inner blessing. This is something that is dictated by what's within you and not of which is without. In other words, blessings come from within because you are saved through Jesus Christ. So here's what I'm getting at. You could have one of the worst days of your life and still look somebody in the eye and says, but I'm blessed. What, are you crazy? Your world's falling apart, but I'm blessed. Because no matter what you do to me, I got Jesus inside of me. Because my happiness comes from within, not from without. If your happiness is coming from without, you got a problem. Because that means that I or somebody else can take your happiness. Because it's external, which means it's vulnerable. But when it's internal, it comes from Jesus Christ who lives within inside of you. It's a powerful blessing that nobody can remove. You can't even do it yourself. God won't let you. Once you're his, you're his. And so this word means to be blessed and to be happy, but in a state of, not in a condition of. Get the difference. It's not a condition, it's a state. Being blessed is a state of well-being due to a relationship with God through Christ. We are blessed when we have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. The only way you get a relationship with Jesus Christ is to believe in him and to become one of his disciples, to become a learner. A learner learns for a purpose. School prepares you to read and write so that you can get a job to take care of yourself. Jesus Christ wants you to be a learner of the Word of God so that you can take care of other people. And he can take care of you through the word. It's never for your own benefit. It's always for the glory of God that he's teaching you something. The benefit is a side effect because God, in the process of you obeying, in the process of you submitting, in the process of you denying yourself, will take care of you because you are a learner. When you go to school, they give you books, right? I'm not talking about college. I know you pay for your own books there. But the public schools provide your children with books. God has provided you with the book. It's called the Bible. If you cannot afford a Bible and you do not have one, God will provide one for you through this church. You will get one for free because God wants you to be a learner. Praise God. This is your public school for God's teaching. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Those who recognize they are in need of God's help through Jesus Christ are the poor in spirit. If you're walking around saying you don't need Jesus, you've got a problem. Because what you are saying is that you can handle your life and your salvation without the need of Jesus. But until you get down poor in spirit and you realize that you are less and he is more and that you are a sinner, you're not poor in spirit. But theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is open to all those who confess their sins and accept Christ. And Jesus said that you have a Pharisee in synagogue and you have a sinner tax collector next to him, and they're both praying, and the church leader is saying, well, I thank you, God, I'm not like him. And the tax collector is saying to God, forgive me, for I am a sinner. And Jesus said he has more mercy on the one who admits he's a sinner than the one who says, I'm glad you're not like him. Praise God. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Well, I don't know about you guys, but I'm speaking just out of the flesh here, which I shouldn't do, but I don't like to mourn. And I'd rather have no mourning than have to mourn and be comforted, right? But that's not what God's talking about necessarily. Listen to this. Spiritual, emotional, and or materialistic loss resulting from sin. Let me read that again. Spiritual, emotional, and or materialistic loss resulting from sin should lead to mourning and a longing for God's forgiveness and healing. I want to tell you guys something, and if you haven't seen this yet in your life, you will if you continue on. Anybody who sins long enough will experience spiritual, emotional, and or materialistic loss, period. It may not happen today. It may not happen next week, next year, next month. It will happen. And what Jesus is saying, if you learn your lesson from sin, you're blessed. Because the penalty of sin is a consequence that God puts into every person, every life. In other words, you reap what you sow. Okay? And what God is saying is, you're not getting away with anything. And the reason why you're not getting away with everything is because when sin bites you, you're going to mourn. And what God wants that mourning to do is to get you to turn to him. Has anybody been in a situation where you know you messed up with God and you were in big trouble and you said, oh God, help me, I'll never do that again, because you knew what you did? Anybody? The rest of y'all liars. Praise God, now we got hands. You do. You get into trouble and you're like, oh God, I'm sorry. I'll never do that again. That is mourning. And you're blessed because you're starting to see the light. There is a God. And you know that you were saying, Lord, I won't do that no more, because you were recognizing who's in charge. There's a consequence for everything we do. And sometimes we don't realize that the consequence is not always immediate. Sometimes it's coming. It's building, but it ain't here yet. But when it arrives, that's when you're praying. You should be. And if you're not, you're not blessed, because you're not getting the point. And if you guys ever meet somebody who is not remorseful for what they've done, they don't even see it. They don't care they've done something to you. They're blind to it. They're not blessed. They're not getting it. 2 Corinthians 7:10 says, for godly grief produces repentance. Repentance is turning away, right? Oh God, I'm never doing that again. that leads to salvation without regret, whereas worldly grief produces death. The Bible backs itself up, doesn't it? Jesus said one thing, and then Paul writes another. In other words, what Paul is saying in this scripture, Paul wrote this scripture, for godly grief produces repentance. The kind of grief that God wants you to have over your sin is the kind that says, I won't do this anymore. I will turn away from it. But the other kind of grief is where you stay in your sin. And that sin is eating away at you. And you hate it. Deep down inside, you're not happy. Deep down inside, there's no peace. Deep down inside, you know you're wrong with God. And guess what? That's grieving you. But you're not repenting because it's not a godly grief. You're not coming to God and saying, I'm sorry, I won't do it anymore. What you're doing instead is saying, I'm going to live my life any way I want to. And guess what? It produces death, spiritual death, physical death as well. Because there's some sins that you can get mixed up in your life that will kill you dead. I'm speaking truth. Everybody knows. Turn on the TV if you don't believe me. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Anybody know what the word meek means? It's one of the most misunderstood words. People think it's weakness, but it really isn't. Meekness is not weakness. Meekness is letting go and letting God. Meekness is having the power and not exercising it. Meekness is saying, look, I could deal with you, but I'm going to let my God handle you instead. And if he chooses to bless you, then that's up to him. If he chooses to smite you, well, then you'll never do it again. Praise God. But what you do is you say, look, I'm going to let God handle this. Jesus could have destroyed all of his enemies. He did not have to die on the cross. Jesus said, nobody takes my life. I lay it down. He didn't have to die if he didn't want to, but he embraced the cross. He knew that his death would bring salvation to us, but he had the power to stop it. But he exercised meekness. Amen. And you have to be strong to be meek, because there are people in this life that want to push you. There are people in this life that want to destroy you. There are people in this life that want to challenge you. And there are things that you could do to them. But then there's things that God says to you that says, no, let me handle them for you. And believe me, when God handles your enemies, it's far better than anything you could have thought of. Now, I'm not saying we should wish things on our enemies. That's not what I'm saying. But I am saying that there is a God and he handles things for us. And sometimes he has to handle our enemies. He can't just let it continue on. And so he asks us to be meek and let him do all the handling. Let him handle those people in your life. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Through Jesus Christ, we are satisfied. If you're thirsty for righteousness, if you're hungry for God, all you have to do is cry out to Jesus and you will be filled. God will give you everything you need if you ask him for it with all of your heart. He'll give you everything. But Pastor, I don't know, because you know what? I've been going through some stuff. You just don't know what I'm going through. I've been asking God for stuff for years now, and he hasn't answered any of my prayers. Have you asked him for him? Have you just said, Lord, I don't want anything from you. I just want you to be here with me. Now, if you open up your heart to that prayer and you spend time with God by praying to him, reading the word of God, coming to church and fellowshipping with other Christians, that's very important that you're here today. That's a very important part of your spiritual walk, that you're around other Christians, because the Bible says that we should uphold one another, that we should fellowship with one another, that we should love and care for one another. Okay? These are the formulas that God has given you. And listen, everybody in here today has no excuse in front of God, because you're here. You're hearing the word of God right now. So you can make up any excuse that you want to, saying, God never takes care of me. He never answers my prayer. You're in church, aren't you? The fact that you're here today in church, hearing the word of God with the scriptures being displayed in front of you, this is something that God wants out of your life. This isn't what you would choose. If you could get all your prayers answered, if I get all my prayers answered, why, we'd have a lot better life, wouldn't we? Come on. I'm not speaking any untruth up here. Everybody wants something better in their life. And that's human instinct. But God says you can't have that life without me. Because even if he gave you all the materialistic things you ever wanted, you won't be blessed. Because you won't have him. You won't enjoy it. You won't have that inner peace. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. You guys want mercy from your enemies? You better show your enemies mercy. Your enemy cusses you out, don't cuss him back. I'm not saying you can't get angry. The Bible says, don't get angry and sin. Jesus went into the temple and he whipped people, didn't he? Remember that? They were in there selling stuff in the church, and Jesus went in there and made a cord and whooped people because you don't disrespect the house of God. That wasn't sinning. That was taking care of what the Lord put stewardship over him for. Amen? It's every Christian's duty to be angry when somebody violates the principles of God. If you're not getting angry when you see somebody sinning and hurting another person, you got a problem because you're not listening to what God is telling you. Those things are wrong, okay? And so if you want mercy, you got to show some mercy, right? Jesus said that when you're praying and you hold anything against another person, he's not going to forgive you for your sins if you're not forgiving others for theirs. He's not talking about salvation. But the point is that God's not going to show mercy on you if you don't show mercy on other people. So it's very important that you forgive and you forget. Don't get mad at somebody over something new and then bring up all the old stuff you told them that you forgave them about. That's crazy, bringing up old stuff. That's not forgiving them. The kindness and forgiveness that the merciful show to others will also be shown to them. Now, you might be nice to somebody who was wrong to you, and they may never return the favor. But God will make sure that somebody comes into your life, somebody else, and they will show you favor. He'll replace that person who's treating you wrong with somebody good. I want good people in my life. I want people that are peaceful, that are loving, that are caring. I don't want mean people around me. I don't want it. So I'm going to show people mercy even when they don't show it to me. And I'm going to wait for God to bring the people that are going to repay me. Praise God. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Listen, you and me, we like to look at people at the clothes they wear. We like to look at the people with the cars they drive, the music they listen to, right? The outer person. We look at somebody and we go up and down on them. Little shoes he's wearing. Don't look at my shoes. Pastor can't dress. I went to a church one time and I was told I couldn't come back because I wasn't wearing a tie. I said I went to a church one time and I was told not to come back without a tie. That's why we don't have a formal dress code here. We just ask you to dress decently. I mean, come on. There's limits here. There's limits here. But we're not asking you to dress in ties because I went to a church and I was told not to come back without a tie because they were looking on the outer person. And I was like, really? Well, I don't own a tie. I'm poor. Well, what happens to the person who can't afford clothes? They don't get the word of God. That's not fair. So blessed are the pure in heart. And the reason why I'm going on this is because God looks at the heart. Religion focuses on rituals. Religion wants you to get up in the morning and pray every day at the same time. Religion says that you got to get up in the morning and do the same thing over and over again repetitiously. Religion has rules. God has love, okay? And it's not the kind of love that a lot of people think, okay? It's a purity of heart. It's a sincere love. Sincere love, man, sincere love cuts both ways, right? Am I telling some truth here about pure love? Pure love says that you cannot run all over me, but I in turn will not run all over you. Pure love says when you do wrong, you have to be taught right. You can't just get away with everything. That's the God we serve. We don't get away with everything. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Jesus is the Prince of Peace, right? People who reflect the character of their heavenly Father shall be called sons of God. Such people promote peace, both personally and communally. Now, Jesus is a son of God, and he is called the Prince of Peace. If you want to look like a son of God and be called a son of God, you've got to be a Prince of Peace. You got to do that through Jesus Christ. Do you want to be called a son or a daughter of God? Do you want somebody to really call you a Christian? Be peaceful. Let people look at you and feel that peace of Jesus, not your own peace. That stuff don't work. You could lose that at any time. Go to the gas pump and it's going too slow on a cold day and the wind's blowing. right? You ever been to one of those slow gas pumps? And he's like, come on, man. It's freezing out here. You're losing your peace real fast. Amen. People who reflect the character of their heavenly Father shall be called sons of God. Such people promote peace. That means personally and in the community. That means you don't go to church and attack one another or stick your nose up at one another or look at the person next to you and say, I'm better than you. You don't do that. You promote peace. It means when somebody is trying to hurt somebody else, you try to stop them from doing that, even if that person's in the right. Tell them, don't take vengeance. Have some peace. It means when you see somebody attacking somebody else, you come in there and you try to help that person. You try to diffuse the situation. You don't take sides. You just try to cool it down. Christ is the Prince of Peace, Galatians 3:26. For in Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God through faith. Didn't I just tell you? You have to have Jesus to be son of God, to have that peace. It's what you need. Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. You got to start with him because you're going to finish with him. Amen. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. God is pleased when Christians stay faithful through persecution. How many of you guys know that people will hate you just because they see Jesus on you, and they may not even know that's why they hate you? You see, we're the light of the world. We bring the light to people, and people who are in the dark don't like that light because it exposes their dark deeds. So when you stand in the presence of a sinner who has not accepted Jesus Christ, who is not pure of heart, who is not a disciple, they are automatically going to feel conviction. I didn't say condemnation. God does not condemn. He convicts like a judge. When you stand in the presence of a non-believer, your very presence of the Holy Spirit in you is eating away at them. That Holy Spirit is a light to where they should be and where they're not. If you want to come up in here and say you don't need Jesus because you've already got it going on and you never sin, you never mess up, man, you need him far worse than you think. But you come here and you realize that you're here to get better, then something's going to change in your life. You know what that thing's going to be? What's going to change in your life? You. See, you could pray all day long, God, change my circumstances, change my... No, he's going to change you. If you don't change, your circumstances are going to remain the same because you're bringing your circumstances with your behaviors. You're doing it. It's your life. Nobody can live it for you. So you could pray all day long, Lord, change my life. And God will say, no, you change. Your reaction and actions are dictating your life for you. The people you hang around with, the words that come out of your mouth, the things that you consume that are not good for you. God is pleased when Christians stay faithful through persecution. Persecution will come. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Your rewards are in heaven. We don't like to hear that today. I don't care who you are. People want stuff now. Jesus is saying that our blessings are being stored up in heaven. People can't steal from you what God is guarding up there. Try to take something from God. Has God ever taken something from you? Live long enough, he will. Can you get it back without him just handing it back to you? Can you pull anything away from God that he says you can't have? Your treasures in heaven are things that he tells people, you can't touch this. This belongs to my sons and my daughters. And these things are for them. And when they come here to be with me for eternity, these rewards will be theirs. You can't touch it. I'm guarding this stuff. Nobody can take that from you. So they're safe. But listen, blessed are you when others revile you. What? Man, I don't feel very blessed when people are cussing me. I don't like it when people say dirty words out of their mouth towards me. I don't like that. Do you guys like that? Utter all kinds of evil against you. He says, rejoice and be glad. Let's throw a party. Somebody's cussing you out, accusing you. No, that's not what it's saying. What did we talk about blessings earlier at the beginning of this? Let's go full circle here. Inside. Blessing, right? The Latin word, beatus. Inside blessings, right? On the outside, you're not feeling so good when they're doing that. It hurts. Emotionally, it hurts. But blessed are you because you're mourning now. You're being persecuted, and God sees it, and he is chalking up rewards for you as long as you remain faithful. And you say, Lord, I know what these people are saying about me, but you know what? I'm still standing by you. They're not going to budge me. I'm going to do what you told me to do. Praise God. You're blessed. Okay, Christians will have opposition. You're going to have oppositions. If you're going to live a Christian life, the people out there who don't believe in Jesus are going to sooner or later come up against you. Our reward may not come in this lifetime, but God promises us rewards in heaven. Now, this last scripture is very important. We're almost done. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. If you don't think that Christians are going to be persecuted, you're not reading the whole Bible, because it's been going on from the beginning. I'll give you the very first account of persecution. From the beginning, the righteous have been persecuted, starting with Abel. Abel gave something to God. He gave a sacrifice, and it pleased God. Cain, he didn't have pure of heart. He didn't come to God and give him the sacrifice he was wanting. And God was pleased with Abel, but he rejected Cain's offering. And Cain murdered Abel, his own brother. He persecuted him for that. It's been going on since the beginning of time. It was the cause. Persecution was the cause of the first murder. Think about that. If it happened to Abel, persecution will happen to you. The point is will you remain faithful to God when it happens? Or will you allow the person who is attacking you against Jesus Christ, will you allow them to take your faith away and stop believing, stop worshiping, stop practicing, stop reading your Bible? Will you allow that person to steal that from you? Because if you do, then you're responsible, not God. You allowed it to happen. But if you stand in faith, you'll be blessed. And that's really what it means to be a Christian in many words. All of these beatitudes are attitudes, right? They're blessings as long as your attitude lines up with what Jesus is saying. Stay strong. You're not a perfect person. You'll never be a perfect person until Jesus comes back. But in the meantime, you are to strive to be perfect just like your Father in heaven. That means you are to aim for that perfection. But you can't do it on your own. You got to do it through Jesus Christ. You got to read the Bible. You have to apply the Bible to your life and to people's lives around you. You have to come to church. You have to fellowship. You have to get active in church. You have to come to the pastor, and you have to say, Pastor, I want to help the church. I want to help the people here. Because in doing so, you're denying yourself, and you're applying yourself to something bigger than yourself, and that would be the Word of God and the kingdom to come. Amen. In conclusion, I want to say the Beatitudes are a list of blessings promised to those who come to Christ with a humble heart. Will you come to Him today?
This is Misha again to remind you that James loves hearing from his listeners. You can contact him via email at james@awordfromgod.net. Again, that's james@awordfromgod.net. Or write to James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri 65801. And be sure to visit us online at www.awordfromgod.net. I'm Misha Pelkey for A Word from God.
And I'm James Lindley, and I want to thank you for listening. And I pray that God will bless you immensely from this message.